If you will, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. First, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for the time that we have here this morning to study your word, and we ask you to lead us by your spirit and to build us up in the faith. Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to especially be with them and to be with the families at the loss of these loved ones, that you comfort them and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, good morning. Begin with me in verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I believe there are two different things involved in that. The quick of those that's already been made alive in Christ, which is the church, the body of Christ. And I suspect those that are at the appearing, that's when the Lord will appear. It's a rapture. In other words, when the church, the body of Christ, is filled up in Romans to Philemon, the rapture will take place. The Lord will appear for the church, the body of Christ. We will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Those that are asleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. The dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then after that, the Antichrist can be revealed, and you'll have the time of Jacob's trouble, according to Jeremiah chapter 31 and other places, and what Jesus Christ trained the 12 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to look forward when they see this abomination spoken by Daniel the prophet, when he stands in the holy place. And by the way, if you think about it, over there in Jerusalem where the holy place will be, there's a mosque over there right now. So it's going to be torn down somehow or another. And then they will, when he stands in there and proclaims him to be the Christ, they have to run and flee to the mountains, then hide. And God will deal with Israel again in this seven-year time of Jacob's trouble. And this will be in two parts over here. Two, 3.5 year times over there. You'll have a 3.5 year time of good, and the Antichrist comes in making peace, according to Daniel 11 and 12 and other places. He comes in real subtlety making peace, and right in the middle of this tribulation, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And he's going to make an image, and those that will not worship or take the mark of that image or the beast or his name, he will kill them. They will die over there. And they were trained that back in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 and other places. He that loses his life, in other words, if he resists the mark of the beast, he will die. So they'll go down. They will be resurrected over here at another time. And this here, the rapture of the church, is not general resurrection. You understand? I heard a man yesterday at a funeral say that my buddy that we was burying would come forth in a general resurrection. No, he will not if he's saved. He'll go forth in the rapture. General resurrection, you can find that back in Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, a resurrection of the just and the unjust. In other words, there's two different resurrections there. The church, the body of Christ, will be gone before this time takes place over here. And after the second coming, beloved, the general resurrection is not until after the tribulation. So the body of Christ has got to get out of here. God's got to get us out of here. But in the meantime, what do we preach? Well, we preach the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul. In Acts 9 and Acts 18, the Lord appeared to the Paul in the temple and gave him a further revelation, and he wrote 7 epistles to people that were not in the covenants of promise. He wrote to us about it. Now, back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Well, beloved, he don't bring his kingdom down until after the tribulation. The kingdom does not come down at the rapture of the church, you understand? So there's 2 different things involved there. Now, watch what he says. Preach the word. What word do we preach?
Well,
we preach the words that were committed to the Apostle Paul according to our instructions in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm not concerned in that as far as dividing the Bible as I am dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. My salvation, I cannot take you back to the Old Testament scripture and prove to you that Christ died for you according to the scriptures. Why? Because we are not in the covenants of promise. You understand? Those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians 1:12, they were in the covenants of promise. That ceased in A.D. 70 when Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem. Israel became not God's people. I was watching Van Ampe the other day, and I don't know if that's his wife that is on that show with him or who she is.
Yeah.
Is that his wife?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, she was saying we need to love Israel so we can get the blessings of God. Lord, I thought my Bible told me in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
It didn't tell me that after I did this or after I did that. You know what I have to do? I have to trust that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he paid for all of my sins. And you know, I never heard that one time at that funeral. Not one opportunity. Not even from the preacher in the pulpit, nor from the Masonic thing at the graveside. Not one inkling of how to get salvation. That's sad. What a missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. I'm wondering what people are preaching nowadays. Now let's see what Paul says there. Verse 2. Preach the word. Hold your place there and go to chapter 2. I need to find out what I'm supposed to preach today. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now listen to me. Did he say the things that thou hast heard of Peter, James, and John? Did he say the things that you heard from Jesus in his earthly ministry? What did he say? The things that thou hast heard of me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. And boy, I saw a bunch of that Friday. I saw a bunch of proud men know nothing about what God's doing in this world today. If they did, they sure didn't proclaim it. It's sad. It's real sad to me. It's near about foolishness. childish. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, that is not the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is the words that was committed to the Apostle Paul. What is about this people? Verse 4, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now listen, he even tells us about a brother that gets involved in this kind of stuff, have no fellowship with him. Now, let's look at what some of the things that was committed to Paul, that's committed to Timothy, which is committed to us. Go to Romans chapter 1 with me. Let's just start there. Romans chapter 1. Now, he said something that's according to godliness, didn't he? All right. Let's see where we can find out where our godliness is at. Verse 16, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Is the gospel of Christ the power of God unto salvation today?
Yes.
To who?
Everybody
that works for it? No. You see, I heard a lot of works being proclaimed Friday at that funeral. Out of a Methodist preacher and out of the Masonic Lodge that they were involved in. Nothing about what Christ did for them at Calvary. Nothing about it, not one iota of it was it preached. Verse 17, for therein, what? The gospel of Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Where is our righteousness at? It's in the gospel of Christ. Who was committed that gospel? Paul was. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Rightly divide what? The word of truth. Well, Paul's gospel has to be rightly divided. So when we rightly divide Paul's gospel, we see that Paul, in his latter letters, his last seven epistles, that he wrote to Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. You understand? By the mystery of the gospel, we now have salvation by what Christ did at Calvary when he died at Calvary. Okay? Now, that's not all. I want you to see something this morning that maybe we've never seen before. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up, those that serve these idols, these images. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want you to go back to verse 20 with me. Verse 20. for the invisible things of him, that would be a reference to God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is the Godhead? Let's see if we can figure this thing out. Go to chapter 17 of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Start with me in verse 22. Then Paul, Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world, all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of all men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Now, I know who destroyed the bounds of man's habitation. You know who did? Let's look at the bounds to start with before we get to the Godhead. Go to Isaiah 10 and Deuteronomy 32. Go to Isaiah 10, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of the children. They are the are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus require the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy elders and they shall teach, tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." In other words, there are 12 natural boundaries. When Noah came out of the flood, he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You understand? Three separate races of men. God set their bounds. Now, go over to Isaiah chapter 10. And the context starts in verse 5, so I'm going to start reading in verse 5. O Assyria, that's the Antichrist, the rod of mine anger, the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give them a charge. In other words, when Israel came out of Egypt, God told them, I'm going to destroy seven nations. He said, when you get into those nations, I want you to destroy their gods. And he's talking about little g, gods, idols, destroy their altars, tear them down. Don't marry them and don't take in marriage. Don't give in marriage. They will turn your heart from me unto their gods. And they did. Israel failed to do what God told them to do, and they went right down the tube. From then on, they are diminishing. Now, watch what he says here. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 6, I will send him, this Assyria, against an hypocritical nation, against the people of my wrath. And you can find the people of his wrath in Luke chapter 21, has to do with Israel. The wrath over here in the tribulation. I will give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doeth his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princesses altogether kings? Is not Calno as carcass, whatever you call these people? Come to verse 10. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not, as have I done to Samaria and to her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Now here's our verse. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Well, God's going to destroy him over here in this tribulation time over here. Now, go back to Acts chapter 17. Go with me to verse 28. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of their own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art of man's devices. In other words, he's talking about idols. You understand? Idols. Hold your place here and go to Zechariah chapter 13. I apologize. Hosea chapter 13. Daniel, Hosea. You got Matthew, back up through your minor prophets. Hosea chapter 13. You want to know what happened to Israel? Read the book. You know what's going to happen to idolaters today? Read the book. God will tell you. Those that worship idols and bow down to them, God does not like. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Now, Hosea 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. In other words, Baal is a male deity of the gods, of the idols, you understand? I won't comment on that right now because I can't get into that right now. Verse 2. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calf. Where therefore they shall be as the morning cloud. Now you know what happens to the morning cloud. It's soon gone. Now he's likening these people that worship idols as to the morning cloud. Verse 3, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. A lot of times me and my grandson will build us a fire and we'll put some kind of maybe an old shingle off the roof or something in there and go out and see how black the smoke is. And directly it's gone. That's what God's likening idolatrous people to, beloved. I wish people could get a grip on this and see. Verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. And y'all know what Isaiah 43, Isaiah 44, 45. And there's not but one God. God said, I know no God beside me. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Take Exodus chapter 20. Somebody might say, well, Exodus chapter 20 is under the law. And the law is done away with today, ain't it? Right. Is the Mosaic law done away with today? Right. Well, certainly it is. It was nailed to the cross. Does that mean it's okay to have idols? Let's just see. We're going to find out and see. All right, now Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, we just read about them in Hosea chapter 13 and other places. We just read about them. They are stiff-necked bunch of people. Verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. What is the iniquity in the context? Idolatry. It's iniquity. God hates it. Now, go over to where you hold it. Did I tell you to go 1 Corinthians chapter 8? All right, let's go there. Take Romans chapter 1 on your way by. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans chapter 1, where we started there about this thing. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Ephesians chapter 4, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all. How many gods are there?
One.
One. Now, wait a minute. Verse 5, for though there be that are called gods. Did God say they were gods? No. He said they were called God's little g. Verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Go back and take Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Well, we don't liken the Godhead as unto idols, then, do we? You know, in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Godhead. No idol. Well, I tell you what, dude. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's do this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Might as well take chapter 7 while you're at it too. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses, God's dealing with Moses about the children of Israel coming out of bondage and all. Verse 14, and this is about when the Lord called Moses up into the mountain and all. And the Lord, verse 14, Deuteronomy 4, 14, and the Lord commanded me, that's Moses, at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no man of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves, make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and least thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Well, did they do this? They did just the opposite of what God told them not to do. They've made them idols. Now, I'm going to show you the first one that they made in just a minute. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, and he named seven nations in here. Verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take to thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. In other words, Israel failed to do what God told them to do. Now, at least you think all of that's in the Old Testament, it's been done away with. Let's just ask Brother Paul about this thing. Go back with me to Romans and take Romans chapter 2. Y'all know the first thing that Moses did when Aaron did, the high priest, when Moses didn't come down off of the mountain? He made a calf, a golden calf. He lied to Moses, and he said, I got that gold and all that, and I threw it in the fire, and it came out, this calf. And they said, these be our gods, O Israel, that brought us out of Egypt. They didn't do what God said. People ain't doing what God said today. People don't give a flip today. You know why? We've had it so easy, people don't fear no judgment. That's why you got crime rates so high nowadays. There is no justice against crime. The criminal's got more rights than the innocent person nowadays. Now, Romans chapter 2. Go to verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Well, am I trying to teach you the truth of the Word of God? Well, am I supposed to be teaching myself also? Well, certainly I am. Am I to take heed to what God says to me through my teaching, which I'm standing in the place of God? Well, should you take heed to the Word of God? If I show you something in the Word of God, and you don't agree with me, you ain't disagreeing with me, beloved. You're disagreeing with the Word of God. So you got a problem between you and God if you disagree with what God said. You understand? Now, if I'm wrong, then you got a problem with me. But if I'm showing you what God says in the Word of God, then you got a problem against it. You got a problem against you and God, not you and me. You understand? I warfare not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and heavenly places. Satan and his demoniac angels are up there right now trying to confuse us and make us think that all we got to do is be good little boys and girls and we'll all go to heaven. We may be going a different route. Well, you know, we worship these idols, but they're going to get us to heaven. Baloney. There ain't but one way. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel that was committed to Paul. Now, what did Paul say about idolatry? We're fixing to find out. Verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, doest thou commit adultery? Now here's your kicker. Thou that abhorrest idols, in other words, you that hate idols, doest thou commit sacrilege? You know what that is? That's a crime against God and His holy word. Do you bow down to idols? Well, you're committing sacrilege. Now, the Godhead. Go back to chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 20 again. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man ain't got no excuse nowadays, beloved. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, let's look at this thing that's been made here. Take two passages. Take Psalms 115 and Psalm 135. Psalm 115 and 135. Psalm 115, start with me in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols, the heathen, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Y'all remember we read a verse, God does not worship with men's hands in Acts. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. And that old Buddha that sits down there on that Chinese eating joint, I've rubbed his belly a time or two, and he just sits there. He don't move, he don't flinch, he don't wiggle. He can't say nothing, he can't see. He didn't even know I touched him. He cared less. Well, that ain't our God. Our God has eyes, ears, nose, mouth, feet, hands. He senses your needs. He knows where you're at. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And he knew whether you would trust Christ as your Savior or not, believing that Christ died for your sins. He already knew that. He knew me before the foundation of the world, not since the foundation of the world. Beloved, that's not our promise. That's those people over here in tribulation, the Gentiles that blessed the seed of Abraham, according to Matthew 25. I heard that Friday. Ours is since the foundation of the world. It is not. Ours is before the foundation of the world. People just play games with this thing about God. Verse 6, they have ears, but they hear not, and noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, that's the high priest, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Fear thou, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. In other words, there is no help in these idols. Go to 135, Psalms 135. Verse 13, the name of the Lord endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, that's Israel. He will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Go and take two passages with me. Take Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 8. Verse 5, Hosea 8, verse 5, thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be your error obtained to innocence? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. As we read the chaff and all, you understand? The smoke that went out of the chimney and the stuff, the morning dew and the morning cloud. Verse 8, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, the wild ass, alone by himself. Ephraim have hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, Now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. And this thing goes on and on and on. Come to Leviticus with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 26. And I thought about this verse the other night. Me and my wife was watching some old movie in the Rio de Janeiro, when they're flying in, and you can see this big old statue of them. And I watched two men that was traveling around the world, and they walked up the hill to that thing and done a sign of a cross, and they bent down there and kissed his feet. Bunch of concrete. Boy, that's so bad. Brothers, we got people that are duped into believing they're going to get to heaven because of their religious system or the organization that they're belonging to, and they ain't going to get there. God's trying to tell you that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, not the gospel of some idol. No, it burns me up to the quick. Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Man, that's kind of serious, ain't it? You think people would take heed to this thing. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 6, let's start in verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like unto the Philistines. And they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land is also full of silver and gold. He ain't talking about in a gold mine or a silver mine. He's talking about idols, beloved. You do remember what we read in Acts 17, don't you? Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. Now look, they are rich. But what are they doing? They're serving idols. You know what they're saying? Just like Israel said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. But it wasn't. It was God Almighty that brought them out of there. But they give credit to them gods. People think because they have great wealth and riches that God's blessing them. Better look and see if it ain't Satan blessing you, keeping the wool over your eyes. Verse 8, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Well, what is the heathen's God? It's idols. We done read that. It's idols. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers. that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as these, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Now, come up chapter 44. Chapter 44. I'm going to break into the context of this thing. I'm not going to read all of it, but there's a lot of wickedness going on in this chapter right here. Chapter 44, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwelt in the land of Egypt. Now I know where they were at, okay? So I know who came out of Egypt. Jews did. And there was a mixed multitude also of Gentiles that believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that came out with them. Okay? Now, verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants of prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Now, beloved, you can't miss that. Now, God just told you that he don't like idolatry and iniquity is idolatry. Now, go over, for time's sake, go to verse 15. And I apologize. Go to verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an excretion and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Now, come to verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, watch out, men, what your wife does. And all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Potiphar, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Beloved, you rebel against what God said. You ain't rebelling against me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. God Almighty did. Verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Now watch, here it goes. I can hear some preacher tell you now, since you quit coming to our church and went over there to that bunch of whatever they are, meeting on the oak tree somewhere, God's took all the blessings away from you. I can hear them. I've heard it before. I know people that's been chastised because of this very verse that you're fixing to read right here. Verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things. In other words, they ain't blessed no more. You know what Paul told you about that in Timothy? He said, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. You see, people say, well, y'all got about 10 or 12 people in y'all's class. We got that many ushers on one aisle in our sanctuary, the house of God. No, better be careful who's blessing you. I ain't saying God won't bless you, but just make sure it's the right God. You understand? Now, God do anything he wants to. What is the moral to all this morning? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Right after Psalm. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now you can't miss that. That's simple. One last thing. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2, preach the word. Well, this whole Bible's the word of God. And if I'm going to understand God, I got to understand all this Bible. What does God think about this? God, what do you say about this here? Well, what about this over here, God? Well, I got my answers in the book. And you know what Paul told you? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, and Paul's gospel has to be rightly divided, or we get in trouble. I appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most patient and kind with me. Good to see all of you. Have a good day.